Pray
Thou
thou who art. Thank you, Brother James. God bless you, bro. They changed all the settings on Zoom. It's been a while since we logged in there, so we have to hunt around. But that should be us. God bless you, each and everyone who's here. God bless everyone who's joining us online. May the Lord richly bless each and everyone. There's sickness around, so some people aren't here. We do pray the Lord will restore them. It's one of those winters where there's a lot of funny business going on. So we just pray that the Lord will take us through. Just one quick announcement. There's nothing on Friday this week. We've just been arranging today and we'll probably be arranging for the next few days these house meetings. And we'll be away as well, myself and Brother Wilmore. So we thought we'll be starting the following week on Friday. So not this Friday, but the following Friday. So there's nothing on. Some people had texted me to ask that question. Let's open our Bibles straight away to the book of Hebrews 11.
No.
The grace of God will just continue on with what we
That's
started
funny.
last week. We'll share our screen here.
Yeah, where's boss?
We can. And there we are. We're looking at shepherds and sheepskin. Hide that away, shepherd and sheepskin. So Hebrews chapter 11, I think I do have it on a slide there. There we go. Okay, no, I don't. Hebrews 11:37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. So speaking of the prophets and the patriarchs of old, they wandered around in sheepskins. And it's quite an interesting thing to think about that. The prophet actually brings this up. But let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to gather upon this day. Father, many times we fight through many things to get to this place. And now you've allowed us to come to this place. We just want to claim this place for your glory. Because, Lord, we just want to come by the way of your blood to commune and fellowship with you upon this evening. Forgive every sin, forgive every trespass. Father, may you wash us, Lord, in your precious blood. Father, may your grace just be extended to each and every one of us upon this night, especially to them that are sick. May you touch them in Jesus' name, we pray. Every person with a need, Father, may you minister to the needs of your people. Bless them that are joining online. May you, Lord, draw near to them and help us, Lord, in your word now. We need thee, Lord. Father, we desire to redeem the time. We want to use this opportunity that you've given to us, Lord. And Father, that's how we bring it back and give it into your hands. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless saints. You may be seated there. So we started looking last week at shepherds and sheep, especially at the shepherds' attributes. So I just wanted to continue looking at that a little bit. And we saw last week that Brother Ram said in the message why it had to be shepherds, which is a real tremendous message. I really think it's such a powerful one. He says, throughout all sacred scripture, the message of redemption has been given by shepherds and through sheep. So there's something about shepherds and sheep and redemption. And every single one of us, I know that as I'm standing here today, as you're sitting there today, we all are beneficiaries of redemption, but you all need a continual working of redemption inside of our lives. Every time you open your Bible, we need redemption to work. The plan of we need leadership, we need revelation, we need grace, when we need healing in our bodies, when we need deliverance from whatever afflictions that we're going through, it's all the work of redemption. You know, so the Lord, he loves to display this redemption, but the point we wanting to get into is they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. So we'll speak about these sheepskins, about shepherds and sheepskin, because when we speak of redemption, redemption in order to be what the Lord wants it to be, redemption can only be given, can only be revealed, or the mysteries of redemption can only be broken by those that are clothed in sheepskin. And redemption can only be received by people that are clothed in sheepskin. Now, we're not speaking, we're speaking in a parable there, because in the Old Testament, they put on physical sheepskin. We'll see why. But us, we need to be clothed in sheepskin. We need to be real sheep. If we want to be beneficiaries of redemption, we've got to become sheep. So we need to be clothed in sheepskin. And if we want to deliver and be true witnesses of redemption, we need to be sheep as well. We'll see that as we go. And that's why that they wandered around in sheepskin. And Abraham says that the reason they did that, the prophets of the Old Testament, he says they draped themselves in sheepskin, signifying their faith in his word of the coming perfect lamb. So, they wanted to identify themselves with their revelation. They didn't want to have a revelation that they had no part in, that, the Lord came and revealed something to them, it meant nothing to them. Now, they wanted to put, they said, there's coming the lamb, there's coming the deliverer, there's coming redemption. And under their dispensation, the best way they could find to try to associate themselves and show, look, I believe in this message of the lamb. I believe in these promises of redemption. They clothed themselves in sheepskin. And it's really interesting that he says that. So they wanted to identify themselves with it. But the prophet then goes on to say, and the word of God came to them over the top of sheepskins. So when they would clothe themselves in their sheepskin, the word of God would come to them. Because as we said last week, for there to be the shepherd's attributes, he has all these attributes. He has his rod and his staff, and he has his leadership and all these kind of things. In order for the shepherd to really show his who he is to his sheep, he needs the sheep to be real sheep. Because it's the sheep attributes that bring out the shepherd's attributes. The moment a sheep stops being a sheep, the shepherd can't show those attributes anymore. So that's why, redemption is always based on and it's passed over sheepskin. And us, it's very easy for us to take off our sheepskin in this generation. It's very interesting. It's very, very easy to do that. And he speaks about Abraham, he was a herdsman. Isaac was a herdsman. He was a shepherd. Jacob, Moses, David. He says all of God's representatives usually were herdsmen. They were shepherds. So God is really trying to show us a principle here that redemption, for the Lord to make himself real, for the Lord to minister to our needs in a real way, he's trying to show us the relationship with shepherds and sheep. It needs a certain atmosphere, needs a certain condition, needs a certain something for him to really show who he is. And I think the principle the Lord's trying to show us is why were the prophets so successful in what they did? Now you think of Isaiah, you think of Moses, think of David, any of these prophets, and this sheepskin represents something to us. And I think to me, it really means that although they were shepherds, God called them to be prophet shepherds, by putting on sheepskin, they showed they were still sheep. And that's the key. No matter how much the Lord calls you to be a father shepherd, a mother shepherd, a brother shepherd, a pastor, whatever that you are, the moment we take off our sheepskin, we lose so much of what the Lord wants us to be. So these prophets now, they were just signifying that, yes, I might be Moses and the Lord might have called me and I might have spoken things into existence, but I'm still a sheep. He's the only true shepherd that he is. Now he can manifest his shepherd gifts through me. He can manifest his attributes through different gifts and peoples and different things like that. But all in all, the spiritual success of any of these great men of God and women of God in the Bible was because they continually remembered they were sheep. And that's why they would clothe themselves as sheep. And you and I can only truly be effective as Christians in any role as long as we stay in our sheepskin. And that's not something, like I say, this atmosphere of this age can really, really help us with. And even for us to correctly present the gospel, revelation, Christ, the message to people, we've got to do it over sheepskin. The moment we lose our attributes of being sheep, we're not led of the Lord and stuff. Sister, God bless. We're not led of the Lord and all these kind of things. I might come here today with truth, but if I don't have sheepskin on, spiritually speaking, the spirit that I'm presenting that truth in isn't going to be a true representation of truth. I can bring truth. I mean, you can. We see it. We've seen it. What is called the problems in the message? What caused the division is the shepherds forgot they were sheep. And they started delivering the message over, but they took off their sheepskin. You see, and that causes the division and all those kind of things. But if I can always come here and stand with my sheepskin on and realize that there's only one true shepherd here and that I have nothing to say that can help anybody. You have nothing you can do in yourself to help anybody, but if you clothe yourself in sheepskins, he can do mighty things. That allows us now to present redemption in the right way. When I'm a sheep and I'm yielded and I'm humble and I'm gentle and I'm willing to be led, I'm willing to give in. When I come and present truth to you, it's going to be a true representation of truth. It's being presented in the right atmosphere, presented in the right, with the right motive and the right objective. And that's why Jesus, he was the good shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. Why? Because he was the perfect lamb. There was never a man born of woman who was more of a sheep than Jesus. And he was the perfect sheep. He's the lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why he was perfectly successful, like we said last week, in every single thing that he did. Because everything he did, he was spiritually clothed in sheepskin. Now, right from his birth, he's in a manger. All the way through, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus says, "I do nothing until my Father shows me first." When they ask Jesus, "When are you coming back?" He says, "I don't know. It's in the hands of my Father." Everything that Jesus did, he demonstrated to us, if you want the real Christian life, if you want redemption to be real in your life, and you want it to be expressed in a real way through your life, the more you and I can become sheep, the more redemption can be presented and received over sheepskins, the more effective that it's going to be. You're going to find it's going to be a huge difference. There's nothing worse than an arrogant Christian trying to testify to somebody. There's nothing worse than a judgmental Christian, somebody who's lost the essence of what it's about. You do more damage than good. We've all done it. We've all tried to testify to people who weren't in the spirit. And you never help anybody. That's how Paul says the servant of God should not strive. Striving. When we're striving with people, the dove doesn't, the lambs don't strive. Sheep, they don't strive, they give in. They yield, they're gentle. They don't butt heads with one another. That's goats that like to do those kind of things. And so Jesus, right from the Jordan, when the dove came down upon him, right to the end of his ministry, and he went through extreme testing and trial. Now they spat on him. They reviled him. They plotted against him. They tried to catch him with his words. They did everything they could. They called him Beelzebub. They said his father was a Samaritan and all these kind of things. And never once did Jesus take off his sheepskin. He was always a lamb. He always maintained that temperament, that character. Even when Satan came to tempt him and offered him big things, he continued as a sheep. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you worship. Turn the stones to bread. You've got power. You've got authority. You don't have to be hungry like this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He was governed. He was led of the Holy Ghost. And it's such an important thing that the lamb and the dove. But you compare that with Moses. Moses, in the beginning, he interceded for the people. He had his sheepskin on. He bore with the strife and the arguing and the contention of the people, the burdens of the people. But in the end, now he says, "You rebels, must I bring you water out of the rock?" And that's when he got in trouble with God. Because he was trying to bring redemption, but there was no sheepskin there. He wasn't in the right spirit in what he was doing. It's like he took off his sheepskin and says, "I'm going to be the shepherd now. I'm going to show you people who's boss." And that kept him out of the promised land. And that is the great, great battle, obviously, that we have because we are twofold being. Now, when you receive the new birth, when the Lord reveals himself to our souls, the seed in us, that activates the sheep attributes in us. Now we love to be yielded. We love to be led. But this outward man is always going to be a goat. This one here thinks he knows what's going on. And Satan's always going to try to minister to this outward man to try to empower him. And you're going to have the black horse and the white horse. And which one's going to win the most? The one you feed the most. The one that you yield the most to, whichever spirit you're giving yourself over. But we always have the potential to take off the sheepskin because we're not clothed in sheepskin here. We're clothed in goatskin. This is goatskin. This one here, he's going to get you in a lot of trouble if you let him take control. He's going to eat things that he shouldn't eat. He's going to go to places that he shouldn't go. He's going to associate with people he shouldn't associate with. So it's keeping that sheepskin on, keeping yourself yielded and humble the way that Jesus did,
George,
keeping yourself
the sound.
dependent on the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's far easier this when you first become a believer. But later on in time, you tend to think that you can do it yourself. And that's where the problem comes. I don't need the sheepskin anymore. I know what I'm doing. I've been a Christian so many years. No, that's why the Lord says the prophets that went about in sheepskin. And Jesus was a lamb right to Gethsemane and right to the cross. had to lead him, yeah, to judgment. And when he was in Gethsemane, it was not my will, but thy will be done. Though it was fierce what he had to go through, but he kept himself. But look how easy it is to lose your sheepskin. You know, look how easy it is for self to assert itself. Not thy will, but my will be done. And that's when we lose the real blessing. Brother, I'm speaking about at Azusa Street in the message, The Church in Its Condition. He's speaking about going down to the 50th anniversary now. He says, when Christ came down among those people, there's a picture of some of them there, there's Seymour and some of them there. They were just as gentle. They were just as peaceful. They lived godly lives. They lived sacrificial lives. You see, why did the Holy Ghost come down there, not come down in the Methodist Church, and not come down in. Oh, sorry, okay. It's a Bible study, you're allowed to ask questions. But why did he come down? Why did he bypass the Anglicans and the Methodists and all the rest? And why did he come to Azusa Street? You know, I think it's on the next slide. It actually has a picture now, and he says, why? Because they were willing to give in. They were willing to be clothed in sheepskins. They were willing to be led of the Holy Ghost. You have to be willing to be led of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is never going to lead us contrary to our will. No, he doesn't have to. He can come and he can say, come, I'll show you the way. No, don't speak to your children like that. Don't handle this. Don't hold on to that bitterness, whatever. But you've got to yield yourself and be willing to be led of the Holy Ghost. And that needs an overcoming of the goatish nature, the outward nature. That needs those sheep attributes. You need to be feeding the sheep attributes in you and let those ones have preeminence and put underfoot those other attributes that are not like a sheep. He says they were just as gentle. They were willing to be led by the Holy Ghost. He says they didn't care what the people said. Whether they were old-fashioned or whether they were crazy or what was about them, they were willing to be led by the Holy Ghost. They say, we don't care. People don't understand what we've got. You know, it was so real to them, the essence, the reality of redemption that they had, the fellowship they were having with Christ, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, and the Lord bringing redemption down and making it real in their midst, and the all-night prayer that was taking place, and all those things taking place at Azusa Street. Wow, they said, hey, people think we're crazy. They just don't understand. They never ever took it personally and said, oh, we need to know. Okay, let's get a bigger building and let's make ourselves respectable before the people. That's not what their motive was. They just wanted to stay as sheep and said, well, you lead us where. If we have to worship in a stable here, it's okay. No, and that's what it was. I mean, Azusa Street was an old warehouse. If you go and read the story of Azusa Street, they just swept out the old warehouse. They got themselves some drums. Put some planks of wood. That was the chairs that they had. They never had anything fancy there. But because they were clothed in sheepskin, no, they had the attributes of sheep. They allowed those to don. They yielded in prayer. They waited upon the Lord. They fed themselves with the real sheep food. What did it produce? They were gentle. Yeah, that's the attribute of a sheep. They were gentle. They were willing to give in. When somebody's contentious with you, it's okay, brother. Like Abraham. Okay, Lord, you choose where you want to go. If you want to go this way, I'll go the other way. You know, not contention and strife. And we need to show you, we the bride. Hey, no one can do that. Hey, be careful. That's not sheepskin anymore. That's not the way that the good shepherd himself, when he was clothed in sheepskin, not the way that he handled things. He called Judas friend. When Judas already had sold him for silver, he called him friend. Hey, he even washed Judas's feet. Yay, that's not an easy one. Yeah, because this outward man here, he wants to show, hey, that person grieved me. They need to know that they grieve me. But the Holy Ghost is saying, no, you need to be willing to give in. You know, don't lose your sheepskin because redemption can only work over sheepskin. That's how it always is. You can only receive from his attributes when you got the sheep attribute. When you're a real sheep, he can express himself as a real shepherd. But the moment you stop thinking that you're a sheep, as much as the Lord wants to minister to our needs, he can't because the atmosphere is not right. You know, because redemption must come over the sheepskin. It's got to come the right kind of a way. So that's what he says about Azusa Street. That's how we say he can only shepherd sheep. Yeah, that's true. You sometimes look in your life and say, but Lord, you haven't led me for a long time. Or maybe, Lord, you haven't fed my soul for a long time. And the Lord's saying, but I'm trying to, but there's just no way I can really get through to you when this attitude is between you and I. There's all this self-will and all this, we all get those things. It's the deeds of the flesh, the works of the flesh. It's so easy for these things to creep in. But we don't want that. We want to keep ourselves clothed in sheepskin so that these great resources of redemption that Christ has purchased and stored us for us and he's revealed in our age. Look through the prophet's ministry to show how came a man. Why was the prophet so successful? Because he was always clothed in sheepskin. That was why his ministry was so. He didn't lead himself. He says, I don't know what to say. I don't have a single word to say to these people in the prayer line, but I'm yielding myself to him. And then the Lord could come and quicken that shepherd's gift in him, the shepherd prophet of the age, and that rod could come and oh, it could destroy the works of the enemy. But the moment that he thought that he could do it himself, then redemption wasn't going to flow the way that it could flow. So even the message, for us to correctly receive the message, we've got to really, really have the nature of sheep, of lambs. Because sometimes the message can be tough. The message is Laodicea. I mean, it's Revelation 3:14. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There's a lot of bad things he said about our age. And it's easy for this flesh to get in tune with this age and start to sympathize with the condition, get lukewarm and all this. And when the word comes along, the new birth inside of any person makes you accept the word. That sheep attribute inside of the lamb inside of you loves the word. No matter what the word is, the word may come as an encouragement, exhortation, may come as a correction. And inside of yourself, those sheep attributes, you know that this is exactly what I need. And you're willing to yield yourself, you're willing to give it. But it's the outward man, like we say, who gives us. So that's why we need the new birth, because it's impossible for the Lord to be your shepherd without the new birth. I mean, if you're not a lamb, a sheep inside, how can he lead you? Now, if you're still unregenerate, your heart still loves the things of the world. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? That doesn't work like that. It's only the new birth that quickens those sheep attributes in us. And that's now why when his shepherd attributes can continually be expressed inside us, as long as we just stay in that condition, we stay as lambs. If you go to Eden, he says in Eden, okay, well, there's the shepherd's attributes and the sheep attributes. That's what we're speaking about. So if we really, really want him to reveal more of redemption personally to us, and we want him to express redemption through us, because he does that, because we are also shepherds and sheep. Now, every father here today has got the characteristics of a shepherd, the potential of a shepherd. You are a father shepherd, because you've got to shepherd your flock. Every mother here is a mother shepherd. Every brother here is a brother shepherd. You, your brother's keeper. That's what Cain said. He said, I'm not a. The Lord says, where's Abel? He says, I don't know. I don't care about him. He said, but you're your brother's keeper. Now, you're supposed to be watching over the younger ones of the flock. Now, you're supposed to be a shepherd, to be watching over, make sure they don't eat the wrong things, help them when they're going in the wrong direction. Every single one of us are called to shepherd in some measure and in some form. And the further along you go in grace, the more that responsibility becomes apparent. But we can only be true and effective shepherds when we're true and effective sheep. Because like we're saying, Jesus, the good shepherd, is the perfect sheep. He's the perfect example that these two things, they work totally together. That's how the most effective leaders, spiritually, are the most effective followers. If I could come here today and completely follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, that was going to be a powerful meeting, wouldn't be? If I was completely led of the Spirit, that I came and I said, I don't have a single thing to say, but the Spirit's going to lead me. Imagine the song leader coming and he's perfectly led of the Holy Ghost in his songs. That's going to be a powerful song service. But for him to lead us the right way in songs, he's got to perfectly be able to be led. The more he's able to be led, the better he's able to lead. That's how, because redemption comes and works through us and out to others. So we've got to have the right attitude, the right nature to receive redemption, and then we can channel it through to other people. So we've got to keep our sheepskin on, like the prophets, going about in sheepskin. And then redemption can be revealed, like he says, over that sheepskin. And that's what we want. I'm sure all of us desire that. So we need the sheep attributes if you want the shepherd's attributes. He takes it right back to Eden. He says the first message to a condemned generation, Adam and Eve, was over the top of sheepskin. Wow. When the Lord came down in the garden and they weren't in sheepskin, what did they do? They ran away from the voice of the Lord. They hid themselves. What did they try to do? They try to make their own solution, make a plan. We don't need the Lord. Let's get some fig leaves. Let's cover ourselves, our own nakedness. Can you see that fallen frequency of the flesh, unredeemed man? When man's away from God, he thinks, I need to shepherd. You can't shepherd yourself. That's how the Lord had to come and call them. But before the Lord could promise them great things, to say, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent, he had to first clothe them in sheepskin. See, in order for them to be clothed in the sheepskins, Adam and Eve, what does that mean? They accepted what the Lord was saying. When he came down and he says, why did you eat of the tree? Yeah. At first, they played the blame game. It was the woman you gave me. No, it was the serpent. Then finally, when they stood in the presence of God, and here he came with the attributes of the seeking shepherd. And he came and he sought them out and says, come out from behind the tree. What are you doing? Who told you you're naked? Take off those silly fig leaves. This is all just man's religion, man's understanding of things. I have the solution. And as soon as you're willing to become sheep again, I'll show you the solution to your problem. I have redemption for you. You don't have to die in this condition. You don't have to perish in this condition. And that was the same as us when we were in Satan's Eden. We weren't in Eden. When we were out in the nightclubs and we were listening to our heavy metal music and drinking things we shouldn't drink and ingesting things you shouldn't ingest, what did he do? He came to us, the seeking shepherd. But all of redemption, he came and he says, I've already died to forgive you. I've already shed my blood for all of your iniquities to be blotted out. I've already come with the power of the Holy Ghost to deliver you from these addictions and deliver you from these demon powers. But there was one condition. We had to become sheep. We had to agree with them and be willing to give in. You know, we had to like, with the moment repentance came and we said, you're right. You see, there's a problem with us. To repent, to confess means to say the same thing. You know, so the only time that confession really works is when you're saying the same thing as the Lord. When the Lord's coming and saying, that was wrong. And you're not justifying yourself. But inside of yourself, from your heart, you say, that's true, Lord, that was wrong. Straight away, he forgives you. He who confesses and forsakes his sin shall obtain mercy. So, yeah, but you've got to have a certain attitude inside of yourself, like a sheep, to say, Lord. And as soon as Adam and Eve realized, Lord, Father, we are sheep and we went astray. We need a shepherd. That's when the shepherd's attributes started to be manifest now. Now he looked at their need, whatever their need was at that time. They needed forgiveness. What did he do? He took a lamb, the sheep, and he slew the first time that death came into Eden, apart from spiritual death, natural death, the shedding of blood. And he took the sheepskins and he clothed them in sheepskins. Now redemption could continue to come to Adam and Eve. Now he could speak to them. Now he could minister to their needs. Now he could help them because redemption always comes over sheepskin. But let's say that they said, I don't want that sheepskin. Nothing. All that the Lord was, all his attributes, all of his desires, the greatness of his love could not be expressed to them if they weren't willing to be clothed in sheepskin. That means they were willing to accept redemption. They're willing to accept the Lamb. They were willing to admit, we need someone to die for us. We need someone to pay the price. And that's how when you and I first repented, that's exactly what happened to us. We heard his voice walking in the garden. And maybe we hid ourselves away for a while. Then one day he put us in a situation we couldn't run anymore. And then he spoke to us and says, why are you in this condition? Adam, where art thou? Where are you? Is this really where you want to be inside of your life? And the moment now we stood in his redemptive presence, like Adam and Eve, because they were sheep, but they were sheep that had gone astray. That presence of the Lord quickened the sheep attributes in them. The longer they stood there, the more they said, "Yes, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I blamed my wife. It was my fault. It was my choice. I didn't have to make the choice that I did." That's when the Lord could now clothe them in redemption, clothe them in sheepskins. And it says it in Genesis that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them in sheepskins. So redemption, like he says, the very first condemned generation had to be revealed on the top of sheepskin. You know, so it really does show you can never separate this from the principles of the kingdom of God. What is redemption? His present tense ministry to your present tense needs. When you say, "How does redemption work out?" It's the Lord presently now in your life ministering to your present tense needs. His attributes, his presence, his love, his grace coming down to pour in the oil and wine exactly where it's needed. Maybe you're seeking direction. He wants to come and show you the way, but you've got to have sheepskin on. Because the moment you think, "I know the way, I'll just skip, watch what here." Hurricane Mountain. He has this shepherd prophet to the age. Yeah? He's a prophet. Imagine, people come from all over the world to get counsel from him. And then he's there. He's the shepherd of his family. And his little flock, they're about to perish on the top of Hurricane Mountain because the prophet took off his sheepskin. Because he thought, I can never get lost. I'm too good of a hunter. I know my way around the woods." And the more that he did, the more that he went round and round on that death walk, the lower the fog came down, the clouds came down, until there came a time there was no more hope. He couldn't see Hurricane Mountain anymore. And here was his, he has his wife, his newlywed wife. He has Billy Paul up on their little shack on the mountain. They're going to perish overnight in the cold. What made the difference now? He needed to put his sheepskin back on. He needed to take off his hat and get on his knees and say, "Father, forgive me. I don't deserve to live. I deserve to die. I was so sure of myself. I thought I could lead myself. I thought I could look after my friend, but you proved to me today that without you, I can do nothing. With my choices as a man, my choices as a father, my family would perish. Lord, I need redemption to come to my family. But Lord, first redemption needs to come to me." So he had to put his sheepskins back on again. He had to become a lamb, giving in, confessing, being willing to be led. Then the attribute of the shepherds came and the clouds opened up and he saw the tower there on the top of Hurricane Mountain. And then redemption came to his family through him, deliverance and all that in the natural, because he was willing to put his sheepskin on once again. And like I say, that's where the problem comes in, because the longer you've been walking with the Lord, the more you deal with people, and sometimes people think you know you have the answers. Be careful, because people don't need my answers. People need his answers. You know, that's where people don't need your answers. They don't need your opinions. They need the shepherd's attributes to minister. That's what they need. That's going to bring redemption. That's going to bring real change in situations. What about the prodigal son? Now, the prodigal son is a real, real example of a sheep that went astray. What was it that made the prodigal son? There he is, look, feeding the swine. What brought him into that condition? He didn't have to be in that condition. He didn't have to. He had such a shepherd father. His father was a true shepherd father. Yeah. All the sheep in his father's sheepfold were well fed. All the servants had bread enough and to spare. There was plenty of green pasture. Nobody had any lack. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because his father was governed by the great shepherd. You can see in all of this story, when you read Luke chapter 15, there's not a hint of blame against the father. Only one thing. Maybe he was too soft to this young man. You know, he sold and he gave the young man the inheritance before he died. But there's nothing. You can see it's so clear from the parable that his father had all the right attributes and expressed all the right attributes. But this young man, though there was an atmosphere in his house that could have brought forth sheep attributes from him, if he was willing to yield himself, bring forth a new birth to him so he could have become a real sheep, he didn't want to be like that. And the prophet says, when you listen to any of the messages on the project, he says, he must have got in the wrong company. Now, that's where you've got to be careful the company you keep, because you get in the wrong company, it ministers to the goat. It ministers to your outward man. Yeah. He says, those boys down in the city, maybe he went down to the market, whatever, the young man, and he meets up with these boys, city boys, and they're saying, hey, what kind of life do you live? We just see you going backwards and forwards, church and backwards and forwards, church and back. That's what Brother Ram says. They said to him, hey, when are you going to live a life? Come down with us. We'll show you in the city how to live a life. You don't need someone to lead you. You don't need your old man there to be telling you all the time what you need to do and what you should watch and what you shouldn't watch and how you should dress and how you should speak. No, how old are you? I'm 17. You're a man. You don't need someone. You see, what are you doing? Satan will so much minister to the flesh, to this goatish nature, to reinforce it. So I think, yeah, my dad is too strict. No one else in the neighborhood's treated the way that they are, the way that my dad treats us. Hey, which other dad in the neighborhood restricts how much time we have on the internet? You'll find those kind of things. Because Satan wants to get in and bring influence if he can, to try to get the goatish nature active, those goatish attributes. And that young man finally sat in his room there. Now he should have gone and spoken to his father about it, because there's always a divine answer. There's always in the kingdom of God a perfectly suitable answer to any question. You see, if he could have just gone down and says, Dad, I'm not happy. Sit down, son, what's wrong? You can tell this kind of father would have sat and talked to them the whole night. Yeah. And said, son, what's going on? Dad, I'm just not happy. Why? I see all the other boys. They're out there at the movies every Friday night. Yeah. I see them down there. Look at the way they're living. That guy over there's got a girlfriend. That guy over there's got a girlfriend. I don't even have a girlfriend. Yeah. Son, sit down. Let me explain to you. Yeah. And in the coolness of things, you would have found the shepherd's anointing would have come down in the room and quickened the shepherd attributes in the father. And you would have ministered to the sheep attributes in the son, and the sheep attributes would have got quickened in the young man. I guess, yeah, Dad, I'm really sorry, hey, but it's right, because the father would have shown them. But hey, son, don't you remember that other boy, yeah, that one who died of the overdose? And remember that other one that fell off the building when he had taken too many drugs and all those? And it would have balanced the whole thing up. And so, son, look at these boys. Where are they? Look at them. What kind of jobs do they have? Yeah, they're working in the whatever they're doing. But son, God has gifted you with far more than that. That's why he's protecting you, because God has a special purpose for your life. God wants to use you for his glory. I mean, you see, the father, because in the father's house, there was the shepherd's anointing, definitely. But the shepherd's anointing needs a voice, and it needs an opportunity to express itself. That's why the Lord gives you a shepherd father and a shepherd mother, and genuine Christian brothers and sisters that are shepherd brethren. So that when you are getting led astray and Satan's trying to get you to follow the old goatish path, that shepherd's anointing comes and quickens the shepherd's gifts in your home and ministers now to your sheep attributes in you. But the young man, he didn't do that. He shut his father off. You can tell, ah, I don't want to speak to my dad. He's always got an answer. You can tell he'd already made up his mind. I'm going. Yay. And he had to learn a hard lesson, because he thought, I don't need a shepherd. You're going to be shepherded by somebody. He ended up being shepherded. That somebody was his boss, who made him feed the swine and didn't even give him enough food until he started to envy the pigs eating those carob pods. He could have had the best shepherd. God gave him a shepherd father. Maybe a shepherd mother, I'm sure. You can tell that household, the presence of the good shepherd was in that house. But friends, he started listening to the wrong voices. He started being energized. The passions and the flesh was energized by the wrong things. And now he made his decision. And now he separates himself from the flock. Down he goes there, and he thinks all is well. I can make my own decisions. I can look after myself. He left his sheepskin at home. He took off the sheepskin, says, me, I'm not a sheep. Ah, I'm a man. I know how to find me. The greatest man that ever lived, Jesus, He was the greatest sheep that was ever born. You know, that shows us what greatness is. If you want great things inside of your life, the more we can be sheep, the greater God can make us. Look at David. That's why David, he was such a sheep. Now, David, whenever he finds the Philistines are coming, he goes to inquire of the Lord. Yeah, and the Lord says, God behind them. Next time Philistines come, inquire. Wait, you'll hear the sound in the mulberry trees. That's why he was the greatest king outside of Jesus of Israel, King David, because he was a real sheep. And the culmination of his psalms was what? The Lord is my shepherd. And he was proud to say, the Lord is my shepherd. What does he say? I'm a sheep. He says, people look to me as the shepherd of Israel. I'm the king shepherd of Israel. He says, that's fine, but there's only one real shepherd, and it's the Lord. And any good I do in shepherding Israel is because I'm yielding to the anointing of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, when he anoints the king gift in me. And that's when I can now shepherd Israel properly. He knew it. Without the Lord, I'm nothing. He knew without the Lord, I'm nothing. But this young man had to learn a hard lesson. He learned the lesson that when the Lord is not your shepherd, you shall want. Exactly. He got into great want. No food. His clothes are tattered, torn. He's dirty. He's living among the swine. Until grace came to him. Yeah. Now, his father, I love the way the prophet says, his father went walking there and he was burdened. He said, Mother, I'm thinking of our young boy today. Where is he today? Does he have food? Does he have clothes? And I'm going to go and pray. And he goes out to pray. And whenever he had gone and pray, maybe he'd walk down that road that his son had gone, and he'd go and stand and look where his son had gone. And he'd be praying and praying and praying this and saying, Lord, please, don't let my son perish in that condition. Lord, intersect him in his path. Speak to his soul. Lord, I know deep down inside he's a sheep. He's your child. He's made wrong decisions. He's chosen the wrong way. Lord, I'm sure he will have learned his lesson. And the prophet says, that night, the angel of the Lord went forth and went down there. Now listen to that young man. What did he do? He went into a far off land. He went as far. He went as far astray as you possibly can go. He went into a, he wanted to make sure, I don't want my dad to have any influence. I don't even want my dad to have any chance of going to the market and finding me. I'm going to go for it. We saw it once before. Far off land means the land of the Gentiles. He's gone out of Israel. He says, I'll never find me where I am. But friends, when the seeking shepherd is on your case, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. That doesn't matter where you are. That's the power of the seeking shepherd. He'll come and find you where you are. And while he's sleeping, he's in insanity that time, you know. He's beside himself. All these decisions that he's made, wasting all of his inheritance with the harlots and the riotous living. And now he's in want. Now the angel of the Lord comes and wakes him. The prophet says, I can see the angel come and wake him up and say, son, it's time for you to go home. And something just, it came sanity into his insanity. And for the first time for a long time, he saw things the way that they were. The sheep attributes inside of him started to quicken. And he thought, but my father's a good shepherd. Why am I perishing out here? In his sheepfold, there's more than enough green pastures. In his sheepfold, there's still waters. It was so peaceful there. There's no contention and strife and people trying to steal your money and people trying to, you know. He said, look at this life. Friends, Satan is like that. This world promises things that cannot deliver. Satan will promise you things that it's impossible for to deliver, because if you are one of God's children, there's only one satisfying thing, and that's the presence of the Father. And this young man, all of a sudden, the sheep attributes wake up inside of him. He says, no, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against my family. I will arise. You see, I've got to go quick. Because he could feel inside of him, there's hope if I go now. But if I delay, the situation's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Maybe he looked at himself and he was so thin and he's getting weak. And he says, if I don't go now, I'm never going to make it back. I've got to go now. He doesn't go now to the owner of the pigs and go negotiate and say, no, it's, I need to go. He says, I never want to see that man again. He just wakes up in the morning when the angel of the Lord, when the shepherd's anointing has come to him now, the seeking shepherd, and spoken to his heart and said, arise. Go back to your father. Go back to the shepherd. He says, I will arise and I'll go to my father. The next verse is, and he arose and he went to his father. That's where many of us make the mistake. You know, in the house of the Lord, when the shepherd's anointing draws near. You know, the shepherd's anointing can speak to you when you're reading your Bible. When the shepherd's anointing gets in the word, the Lord shepherds you through the word. You come to the house of the Lord, the shepherd's anointing anoints the song lead. The Lord can speak to you through the words of the song. The shepherd's anointing comes, ministers the ministry gifts. The shepherd's speaking to you now through his gifts. Or the shepherd anointing can anoint your mother. And that is God speaking to you through your mother. Yeah, the shepherd anointing can anoint your father. He's now a shepherd father, a prophet shepherd to you, because God is speaking through your father. God has so many ways of speaking to us. But where the problem comes in, we hear his voice, but we don't respond. We have good intentions. If that prodigal son had said, that's right, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. I need to go to my father. And got up the next day and just went back to work with the swine. He would have perished in the condition that he was. The moment grace visited him, he needed to respond to that grace. The moment the shepherd drew near, he needed now to follow the shepherd. And how the shepherd led him, and he, all the different thoughts would have been going through his mind. But finally, he gets to his father. And his father, maybe that day, is just feeling moved inside of his heart. He said, man, I don't know what it is. I just need to go and spend some time with the Lord. You take care of the business. He goes out and goes and stands by the gate and looks down the road, and he sees somebody coming down. He says, it can't be. It's my son. Remember, we saw it once before. He says, can't let my son come through the village like that. He runs to meet him. He clothes him with the best robes. Friends, every single want and need this young man had, he just needed one thing to receive it. That was to clothe himself in sheepskin. Once he became a sheep, every one of his needs were met. Shoes on his feet. The restored inheritance, the ring on his finger, the finest robe. Yeah. But he already had made up in his mind that my dad will never take me back in the sheepfold. He's going to make me go and maybe live down in another field or something. He gets to the father. The father says, kill the fatted calf. Because my son, who was dead, is alive. Yeah. He was lost and is found. Let us make merry and rejoice. Friends, all this young man needed to bring a revolution in his life so that all of the shepherd's attributes could be ministered, could minister to his needs. He just had to become a sheep once again. And it's the same as us. When Brother Bram became a sheep, the shepherd's attributes took care of the rest. And all the Lord wants us to do is hear his voice.
Amen.
Put on the sheepskin once again. Acknowledge where we're wrong. Acknowledge where we've been leading ourselves. Acknowledge where we've been making our own decisions. Acknowledge where we've been eating the wrong things and say, Lord, you are the shepherd of my soul. I'm returning back to you. Let's finish with one. We'll just skip through one here. King Uzziah. King Uzziah, at first, go and read 2 Chronicles 16. He was one of the greatest of the kings of Israel when he was a sheep, when he was willing to be led. When he was under the authority of the prophet shepherd of the age, he had a king shepherd gift. And that gift manifested itself when he allowed the presence of the great shepherd to govern him and his kingdom, and to govern him and the decisions he made, and to govern him and his army. Go and read it. He was the most powerful, one of the most powerful of all the kings. But the Bible says, but when he was strong, that's where the problem comes in. He had been blessed by the Lord so much. He had been used as a shepherd of his people. He was under the great shepherd himself. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And then he thought, hey, me, I'm not just a king. If I'm a king and God has blessed me like this, let me go and offer incense. Sheep need to know their boundaries. The moment a sheep goes astray from its boundaries, it's going to get itself in a lot of trouble. Yeah. And as a mother, you know your boundaries. As a father, you know your boundaries. Let me just show you this picture here just to give an example. So here's the good shepherd. There's only one real shepherd, that's the Lord. Everything else is the manifestation of the good shepherd through gifts in people. Every other good thing that comes to people. Then to the age, you have the prophet shepherd. Now the moment the shepherd gifts, the fivefold ministry and so forth, they start to go out of their boundaries. And they start encroaching on the prophet shepherd's boundaries. So, okay, the message says this, but let's change that a little bit. Or I think this, or I think that. That's where we get ourselves in a lot of problems. You know, us as shepherds, ministering shepherds, you know, whatever ministry we have, we've got to stay within our boundaries. King Uzziah, as long as he stayed in his boundaries, which the shepherd set for him, he was a blessing. But the moment now that he strayed from those boundaries and took somebody else's responsibilities upon himself, he became a curse to the people, and God cursed him for doing it. So we need to stay within our boundaries. And then under the shepherd gifts, we have ministry gifts, yeah? Song leaders, gifts of the Spirit, all these kind of things. That's the anointing of the great shepherd speaking and manifesting through gifts. Like the gift of the rod. Yeah, which is the one to destroy the enemy that's after you. That's the gift of faith, the gift of healing in that. Some people have that gift inside of them. They just need to yield to the anointing of the great shepherd, and the great shepherd will show forth his rod through those people. What about a staff? That's like a pastor's gift and all that. That staff is to guide and lead, you know. So the pastor, he's got to get himself in the presence of God and allow the shepherd's anointing to quicken the shepherd's gift in him. And then the Lord can now guide and lead his people to the still waters and the green. Every single one of us have that gift, some gift inside of us, that if you just yield yourself and stay as a sheep, redemption's going to manifest itself in some way to people. You might have the calling of a seeking shepherd, the evangelist. You know, that's your real calling, to get out there in the mountainside and, you know, be scratched by the thorns, and down you go in difficult places, yeah? To go and save that one Georgie Carter there, who's a sheep that's stuck in the briars. Mill town. And, you know, that shepherd's gift, the evangelistic gift in the prophet, was quickened by that vision. He needed to go and find the sheep that had gone astray. Every single one of us, if you just stay a sheep, keep the sheepskin on, allow the anointing of the great shepherd to anoint us. He wants to manifest redemption over sheepskin. As long as, whatever calling that you have. You might be a young man. Cadman was giving the testimony on Sunday. Helping one another. You are your brother's keeper. You know, don't leave it to somebody else. If you know a young man's going astray, you in the house, and you see that your brother now is starting to do things he shouldn't do. You know, don't be a goatish brother. It's easy to be a goat. But be a sheep, be a real shepherd brother, be a real shepherd sister. You know, to go and pray and get the shepherd's anointing on you first, then go and speak and say, hey, I don't know why you're watching that. You never used to watch things like this. Hey, I don't really think this is going to work out well. Come, let's sit. I'll show you some other things that you can watch. You know, that's really, really going to get a blessing inside of your life. Every one of us are called because they're shepherd fathers, shepherd mothers, and shepherd brethren. This is the grace of God. This is how he shepherds us inside of our lives. But at every level, no matter where we are, in order for redemption, for the shepherd to minister through, we've got to stay a sheep. We've got to realize there's only one shepherd, and that's the good shepherd. And we are totally dependent upon the anointing of his spirit. But he's put gifts and attributes and callings in all of us, like a mother shepherd. Look at the mother shepherd in Memphis. So there's Peabody Hotel. So the prophet's airplane is brought down and they put him in this fancy hotel overnight. That's the 1950s. That's Peabody Hotel. And this is not the colored area of town in Memphis, 1950. That's not the woman, the lady, but you can really see it. It's not a nice area. But here was a shepherd mother. She had done everything that she could to raise up this little sheep. But you don't ever hear about the shepherd father. Maybe he died, whatever happened to him, maybe he just left, you know, these days like it is. And it's not easy for a shepherd mother to raise a sheep, especially a boy in times like this. And she had to wash over the washboard night and day, you know, washing people's clothes just to make enough money to get by. She was busy, but she was a true shepherd mother. She raised the boy the best that she could in the ways of the Lord. But what happened to him? He got in the wrong company. She says, my boy, he got in the wrong company. Yeah. She says, there's no dad. Imagine, maybe the father could have stood in the gap there and fix that problem just when it was
Just do
starting.
it.
But it's not easy just for a shepherd mother like that. So although the anointing of the good shepherd is in the home, the prophet goes into that house. He says, the presence of God was in that house. He said, I've been in king's palaces. I've been to King Gustav's palace. I've been to the King of England. He said, I've never felt more welcome than when I walked into that little colored font that day. So the anointing of the shepherd was in her house, but the sheep still went astray. And this young sheep went astray and started doing things he shouldn't do, and he caught a disease. And that disease now started to eat the valves of his heart because it got in his bloodstream. And then he goes too late to the doctors, and there's nothing they can do. And the prophet says he was a big, strapping boy, maybe 170 pounds, lying on the bed, and he's unconscious. And this shepherd mother, she prays to the good shepherd and says, Lord, you are my shepherd. You said I shall not want. You said you have your rod and you have your staff. Where is the rod to come and deliver the sheep? You are still the seeking shepherd. Although the young boy is unconscious, his soul is almost passing beyond the mortal realm, you are still the seeking shepherd. You still know where his soul is. And this mother was a real shepherd mother. She absolutely believed this young boy, he's going to be saved before he dies. And so she prays. The doctor says, there's nothing can be done anymore. Take the boy home, he's going to die. He passes into unconsciousness. His feet are cold. Death is upon the boy. And the mother prays all night. And she prays next to the bed. This is the anointing that comes on a shepherd mother. She says, Lord, I was like the Shunammite woman in the Bible. We had no child. I found myself in the word and you ministered to my need. You gave me a child. Says, I am the Shunammite woman, but where's your Elijah? Where's your Elijah now? If I can find myself in the Bible, surely, where's your Elijah? And she says, I prayed, parson, and she fell asleep, and she dreamt. And in the dream, she saw somebody come walking down the road with a tan suit on, with a hat, carrying something in his hand. And the Lord said to her in the dream, this is my parson. This is my shepherd. Hey, you see, she needed a higher level of shepherding. Sometimes we have that. Yeah. As a shepherd brother, you can handle certain things. But then there comes something you feel, this is beyond me. You need to go a level higher. Why don't you go and speak to your dad? Or go and speak to the deacon. Or speak to the Sunday school teacher or the youth. Or go and speak to the pastor. There's certain times you know that this one's beyond the boundaries. Like Uzziah should have said, this is beyond the boundaries that I'm supposed to handle. Let me push this up to the next level of shepherding that God has provided for the people. And she knew, I've done everything, Lord. I brought your presence down in the home. I've raised him up in the ways of the Lord. I need something greater than what I've got. I need another kind of gift to come and minister in this situation. And when she called, now she's a real sheep expressing real sheep attributes. The shepherd anointing that was always in the home now, some other attributes start to work. And a storm starts in the sky. And an aeroplane now that's supposed to go to Dallas can't go to Dallas anymore. And it gets diverted and lands in Memphis. And a prophet's put inside of a hotel. And he feels very much out of place because it's a serious hotel. Wakes up early in the morning. They say they come to pick him, whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning. Take him to catch the flight again. The airline puts him in the hotel. He writes some letters, goes out early in the morning. It's a beautiful morning. Goes to post his letters. Now, for the shepherd attribute in the prophet messenger to activate, he's going to have to be a real sheep. Because while he's walking in this direction, he doesn't have too much time before they come in to pick him up. The Lord speaks to him and says, stop. Turn around and go the other way. He's got to be a sheep. You see, and the redemption only comes over sheepskin. If he's not going to put on the sheepskin now, that young boy is going to perish. But he's perfect. He's willing to be led. He's willing to be gentle. He's willing to give in. He's thinking, oh, my flight. I'm going to miss my flight. It's okay. I'm just going to follow the shepherd. And he walks back past the hotel. The temptation that's there. Okay. He walks past and just keeps following. And he's singing. One of them, whatever it is. Yeah. And he gets in the spirit, and then he goes across the river and he gets into the colored area, and the spirit's still leading him. And then he walks down this road and he sees this colored lady standing on the gate. And he walks past and she said, "Good morning, parson." And he said, "How did you know that I'm a parson?" He said, "Would you mind if I tell you my story? Last night I was in prayer and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I am the Shunammite woman. Where's your Elijah? And I dreamt and I saw a man in a tan suit with a hat carrying his briefcase, whatever it was." He says, "I woke up this morning, whatever, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I came and I've been standing at this gate since then." And the prophet says, "I felt her back. It was wet with the dew. She'd been standing there as a faithful sheep, just waiting for the Lord to minister to her." And the Lord brings the shepherd prophet. Here comes a man with the most powerful gift of a rod to deliver sheep that's been seen since Jesus was on earth. And the Lord knows exactly the gift to bring to minister the attribute she needs inside of her house. And now the Lord brings the two things together. And when the prophet walks into the house, there's the shepherd's anointing there. And he says, "Okay, mommy, you pray." She prays. He says, "I've never heard a woman pray like that." He says, "Brother," says, "I was crying when she prayed." You could tell she was a real shepherd mother. And then she said, "Will you now pray?" Brother says, "I just laid my hands upon that boy. I said, Lord, I don't know what this means. I've missed my plane. You've led me to this place. I pray for this boy." He said, "Within a few minutes, you're sitting up on his bed." But when the prophet first got there, where was the young boy? He was out in the wilderness. He was saying, "Mama, it's dark. Mama, it's dark." And Brahma said, "What is he saying?" He said, "He thinks he's out on a vast dark ocean. And he's drifting. And he's drifting. He's heading towards eternity without anybody piloting his ship. He doesn't have the leadership in his life. Mama, it's dark." As soon as Brahma laid his hands on him and started to pray, he says, "Mama, it's getting light in the room. There's a man that can turn on the light." You see, you might have been in darkness. You might have questions that have darkened your understanding. If you'll just become a sheep again, God has the right gifts. He has the right shepherd. Whichever that it is, whichever level of shepherding you need, he knows how to bring the shepherd's gift and anoint it and bring the answers so that light comes into your situation as well. And the prophet says, a few months later, I was traveling on the train, passing through Memphis, stopped at the station. It was so expensive to buy food on the train. Got off the train, went to buy some burgers. I heard a man saying, "Parson Branham, Parson Branham." I looked. He said, "I don't know. It's Parson Branham, don't you know me?" He says, "No." He says, "I was that young boy." He says, "Not only did the Lord heal me, but I'm serving the Lord." You know? Friend, if somebody's a child of God, that seeking shepherd, he is not going to give up. That you might be on the edge of eternity. You may not be able to speak anymore, but the seeking shepherd still knows where you are. That's why we should never give up on anybody. So, friends, the key to it all is what? Redemption goes backwards and forwards over sheepskins. And all the Lord wants us to do this evening, once again, is make sure that we've got our sheepskin on. He just wants us to be clothed in the spirit of the Lamb, you know, the token, the life that was in the blood of the Lamb, that's governing us inside of our lives, that atmosphere around us is gentle, that in our hearts we're willing to give in. We're not trying to prove a point all the time. Do people not know who I am? Yeah, we don't want to know who you are. You don't want to know who I am. We just want to know who he is. Yeah, that's who we really want. We want to see Christ in his people, Christ in his bride. And at Azusa Street, when they all got clothed in the clothes, the sheepskin like that, that's when the dove came down, because the dove felt so at home in the presence of the sheep, in the presence of the lambs. And if you've lost your joy, you've lost your power, you've lost your vision, get the sheepskin on again. What influence did you allow to come in? What voices have you been listening to? Something else has been eating at the root. Something else has been persuading you of things. Confess and forsake. And you'll find that anointing of the shepherd that's never been far from you. Those attributes of the shepherd will start ministering to your soul once again. And like this young boy, you'll come back to yourself, the prodigal son. And you realize, but I don't have to live a life like this. No, in my Father's house is bread enough and juice. Whatever I need. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Stop that. And if there's anybody out there as well watching either on YouTube or on Zoom, the question is, what are you wearing spiritually at the moment? Are they sheep? Is it sheepskin? What is governing you inside of your life? What is governing me? Are you willing to give in? Are you willing to be led of the Holy Ghost? Is there sweetness? Is there gentleness around you? Or is it just contention? Just disgruntlement and all that. No, he doesn't want you to be like that. The good shepherd never died for us to live that kind of a life. And he comes to us where we are. And he knocks on the door like he did to Adam and Eve. The voice of the Lord comes down even in Satan's Eden. And it comes and finds us where we are. And it says, Adam, Adam, where are you? And first he wants you to take off your man-made ideas. Your own thoughts, your own opinions. He just said, look, just take off those fig leaves. And then he'll minister exactly what you need for the situation that you're in. And then you'll say, like David again, after a fresh experience of redemption, you'll say, surely the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If that's your desire, why not raise your hand and say, Lord, I want you to be more real as a shepherd in my life. Lord, I need your attributes to minister to me now. Oh, Father, draw near to my soul. Lord, I'll confess, I'll forsake, I'll lay it on the altar, whatever that you show me, whatever's come between you and me, Lord, I don't want this anymore. Lord, I want to just return unto you, the bishop, the shepherd of my soul. I want you to lead me, Lord. I've long forgotten the still waters, Lord. I've long forgotten the green pastures, Lord. I've been out here in this wilderness for too long, but you are still the seeking shepherd. And Lord, I submit myself unto you upon this day. Just lead me back to my Father's house. Lead me back to the sheepfold today. Father, we need you, Lord. Father, every one of us is seeking more of you. Father, we need your leadership, Lord. We need your attributes, Lord. Father, we need the rod. We need the staff. Father, we need the still waters, Lord. You need the green pastures, Lord. Father, we need your leadership, Lord. Father, we need your guidance. Father, there's wolves that come in, Lord. And Father, all these influences, Lord, these things we can eat that we shouldn't eat, but Lord, guide us back, Lord. Father, remind us once again of the preciousness of the green pastures, Lord, of just feeding upon your word, of just bathing in the message of the hour, Lord, and how you would pour in the oil and the wine in the days of our youth, Lord. Father, maybe we've been long in your service, Lord. And Father, it's so easy, Lord, Father, to think of straying and going out of our boundaries. Lord, we just want to just come back as close as we can to you. That there's nothing that we'll do unless you lead us to do it, Lord. And there's nothing we'll say unless you, Lord, anoint us and quicken us to say it. And what a blessing that you will be to us and we will be to other people. So bless your people upon this night. I pray with their sickness, Lord. Father, come with your rod. Smite the enemy in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. Father, where people need wisdom and direction and leadership, come with your staff upon this night, Lord. Let it be so real. Show us the way that we should go. Father, maybe some are, Lord, on Hurricane Mountain, Lord. And Father, Lord, we just need you to open the way so they can see the way that they're supposed to go. May you bless your people, we pray. We thank you for this time you've given us. Bless your people. Bless the owners of this place. Bless this little room. What a blessing it is to be here upon this night. And bless us as we worship you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's hand over to Brother James to lead us in a few songs, brother. God bless you, saints. May the Lord richly bless. Amen.
Let us sing 37 in the songs of worship. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the port. altar. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me, heal me, save me, a divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all my being, absolute sway. Fill with thine Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Amen. Jesus has a table spread. 43. Jesus has a table spread with the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Yea, oh, fill the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to learn that obeying Christ's command, for the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry all the time. Oh yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table All the time, he who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the lamb will take his bride, to be his sign. O thou host of heaven will assemble be, or to be a glorious sight, O thou saints in spotless white, when with Jesus feast eternally. O yes, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table for the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Maybe let's sing 32.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Sombre scowls and howling tempests both succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of good are gathered, oh, we will tell the story how we overcome. Who will understand it better by and by? Oh, yeah, we are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, face hills and barren land. But we are trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by and oh, in the morning, we know the saints of God are gathered up. We will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. For yes, trials dark on every head, and we cannot understand all the ways that God led us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it. Oh, by and by and by, oh Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of good are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, yes, temptation, hidden snare, often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless word of deed. And we wonder why that is when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by, by. Oh Lord, when the morning, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by.
Lord, under your name, yes, we gather together. Yes. Father, we could be doing different things.
Hallelujah.
So it's for us, for each individual in this house, Father, to come and gather.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Take it by me.
Amen.
But I just want to say thank you. I think each individual thanks you, Father.
Amen.
But Father Shema, it's always good for us to come together under the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Let's expound,
man.
Show us different places, Father. Amen. Shepherd, Father. All we can say, my heart says, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
Sometimes it tells us the future.
Amen, Lord.
Sometimes we'll be contemplating in our own small room.
Amen, Lord.
That's right. Your word comes and corrects us.
Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Grant it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Of one accord, Father.
Amen.
And just to listen in these dark times,
Father. Yes.
You are only shepherd. You are the only light in
Amen.
This day, Father. The world is going insane, Father.
That's right.
But we know there's a resting place.
Thank you.
Where we can come and Jehovah. We open
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, that promised land. So, Father, just say that right now, Father, bless each and every person who came today. Father, they came from different places, where school. Father, some are listening on Zoom.
Amen.
Father, just pray, Father, bless each and every
person. Hallelujah.
And the week is still going.
Amen.
Father, just pray, be with us until we
Hallelujah.
Meet again.
Thank
Under
you.
Your name, Father.
Jesus.
Blessed be in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Standing on the promises of God. 31, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal age, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. I am standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and guilt assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, I am standing, standing. Oh, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect prison cleansing in the blood of me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing in the promises of God. I am standing, standing. Oh, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord.
Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, I am standing. Oh, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, Lord, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior is my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, I am standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen.